This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I guess it was many years ago that I took a trip to Rome. It was a kind of a working trip. I had to make a large bronze statue. Now this bronze statue, the type of it is called a relief. Now a relief is a sort of a huge sculpted wall plaque with faces and figures coming out and receding. That's a relief, our poor souls. That's a relief. That's about a medium relief. There's high relief where the figure's about 90% out of the wall, and there's low relief, you heard of bas relief, they're about maybe 20% out of the wall. Anyway, when you make a relief, there's all kinds of difficult problems because it's two-dimensional and three-dimensional all at the same time. So what I had hoped to accomplish on this trip was to visit as many of the churches as I could and study as closely as possible all the many reliefs that I knew I would find in these churches. Now you see, in traditional churches in Rome, the way they build them in the traditional, you know, I'm sure Europe and Mexico, it's pretty much similar. There'd be a row of pillars here and a row of pillars down there. You have all these side chapels coming out of the walls where priests could say side altar masses. In the old days, there was no such thing as concelebration. So when a priest would come, he wouldn't concelebrate. He'd say mass at the side altars. And over every one of these side altars in these churches in Rome, there's always a beautiful picture, painting, or a statue, or a relief of the saints, or Mary, or the Virgin, or the angels, or some wonderful moment in Catholic history. So I did that. I walked into the churches, one after another. I didn't even know the names of the churches I was in. I would be saying the rosary, and I'd just be looking for reliefs, particularly. But it was not too long before I began to forget about the reliefs. And I began to be immersed in something else that I saw on all those altars and all those walls. And I began to notice whether the art was Jesus or Mary or the saints or the angels. I noticed that on almost every face, in every pair of eyes, on every mouth, there was a smile. A gentle, peaceful, contented smile. Not laughter, not giggles, you didn't see teeth, you know, there was no, they weren't laughing. Just every mouth was delicately turned up in a smile, and there was always a twinkle in every eye. Now there were the indulgent glances and the suffering looks, but there was always the smile. And it dawned on me that there was something that these old Catholic artists were onto about our faith that would give us, even in the midst of great earthly trials and great suffering, joy within our hearts. These smiles were not just the curved lines of somebody's mouth, but the reflection of a smile within their hearts. And when you saw that smile, you knew that the Virgin or the saint or the angel was onto something very deep, very good for them and for us. I guess you could say that these smiles are what happens to us when we ponder the implications of our faith. What does our faith mean to us? Well, we soon learn enough, that our faith in God and our faith in Jesus means hope. We have an ineffable happiness on earth. You can't even describe it. All you can do is get it into a little smile because of our hope for heaven. It's that simple. That's the reason for our religion. That's the reason for Jesus, the reason for why God came down. That's the goal of our life, the concrete hope of living in God's presence a little bit here so we can live in God's presence there in heaven. Look at the smile of the Virgin of Guadalupe. That's the same thing right there. Just a tiny little smile. And we see, we celebrate her feast tomorrow, but that's what I'm talking about. Her joy is so deep and so happy and peaceful and loving, it has to come out of her smile. It has to come out on her lips, in her face. And we could easily say that this is the message of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the message of all our faith, that the true faith in the true God will give us a joy that no one or no circumstance can take from us. Compare for a moment the beautiful stories of our faith with other beautiful stories. We'll just call them the fairy tales. Pinocchio, Snow White, Cinderella. Now, those stories always please and delight. We might even smile at the loveliness of the characters, and we might even learn lessons for better living from the characters in the fairy tales. But if joy could be defined as the inner happiness that comes from being fulfilled, would hearing about Cinderella fulfill us? Would it cause us joy? I don't think so. You see, because at the end of reading a fairy tale, you only finish reading a story. You might be able to muster a sigh and wish that things in this world or things in your life were just like the fairy tale, but it probably will never be like that. But these stories, these fairy tales, they cannot cause us joy or fulfill us because they're only fairy tales. And our souls and our lives remain untouched by them. In a fairy tale, there's really nothing to hope for. What, you're going to meet Prince Charming? Right. No, the fairy tale does not exist except as a diversion because it does not give hope, it does not give joy. But the stories of our faith and the illustrations of these stories, they help us conclude that this joy comes from something deep within, something that does touch our lives, something that does change them and fill them, and that, of course, is God. Think about it. The stories of our faith, either the lives of the saints or the gospel stories, these stories do change our lives and form us. Why? Because they're about that which is real and is in contact with us. And these stories give us joy because they give us hope. And hope, I will define it as the bridge between the difficulties of our lives and the happy resolution of these difficulties through life with God. The story of our faith and the stories of our faith, they tell us that there is someone who has us in his mind and has us in his heart, and he loves us and promises us to live with him in heaven. So we just follow his will on this earth. And the gospel tells us we should hope for that. And when we hope for that, we're happy. Hope is the confirmation in our hearts that there is more to this life than this life. And thank God there is. And that's actually the meaning of the rose-colored vestments. And the third Sunday of Advent, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice because now there is hope. The hope that life is not one long cry. The hope that every tear we shed is not shed forever. The hope that this life is not utterly futile and utterly pointless. And that the only thing we should ever look for at the end of this life is a cleaner nursing home at the end. No, that's not hope. This is real hope. And it's a hope that causes joy. And such a deep joy that no one can take it from us. Because this hope is a person. And his name is Jesus. And he will be born for us on Christmas. No wonder we're so happy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.